Well, welcome to our study of Genesis. We're going to begin this evening with chapter 5. And I'm going to go ahead and start. We're going to see that it talks to us about the genealogy of Adam to Noah. Verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him.
This genealogy that's given is just through Seth. And so the genealogy is from Adam to Noah, and obviously it's going through Seth after the flood, okay? And so it's not talking about Cain, it's not talking about Abel or anyone else. And then it's also a reiteration that you see here that man was made in the image or the resemblance of God when God created him.
We're going to find as we go on reading about the genealogy and what happens with the flood that there are no descendants of Cain and Abel on earth today. And you're going to want to remember that for your test. Okay, verse 2. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day they were created.
He did not call them man and woman. He called them man. He called them Adam. He did not call them Adam. And at the time they were created, the woman was woman. Adam named her. The Hebrew word for male is ish, and the Hebrew word for female is isha. And so when God brought the woman back to the man, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called isha. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And so God sees them as one. One entity. You understand? And that's why, you know, Genesis 2:24, he's talking about, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Okay? And so when God looks at husband, wife, he's not looking at male, female per se. He's looking at union. God called their name as that union, and the Hebrew word there is Adam. Okay.
And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth.
Now, there's some significance here that I want to bring out. It doesn't say Adam didn't have children. We know that Cain was born. We know that Abel was born. We know that there were daughters born because we know Cain had a wife, right? And so what he's giving us here is the lineage of Jesus that's coming through Seth. Now, I don't know how old Adam was when Cain was born. We don't have a record of that, or when Abel was born, or any of the other children. But I do know this, that the mandate given to the man and woman was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I also know that the man and the woman were created mature. They didn't grow up into adulthood. They were adults, and so they could reproduce. I don't know how long it was before the fall of man. You with me on all that? And you don't see a lot about women in the Old Testament. It's through men. And then, even at that, just like with this genealogy, it's only giving the genealogy here through Seth. And so don't read into the Scriptures not what's not there, and then just use some common sense to understand that they had a lot of sons and daughters, okay? You'll find, and you're going to find when Heather reads these genealogies, you're going to find that even after this person is born, it says that their father had more sons and daughters all the way through. More sons and daughters. Okay? So Adam and the descendants of Adam are fulfilling the mandate given to them by God to fill the earth. We don't know how many children Adam had. But you think about this. He lived to be 930 years old. If they'd have just had one child a year for 800 years, a lot of children. And then their children having children. But that's how the earth got replenished, or that's how the earth got filled. I'd rather use that word. Okay? And so just keep those things in mind.
And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters.
So how old was Adam when he died? 930 years old, right?
Mm-hmm. And then in verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters.
You noticing that? After this was born, they have sons and daughters. After this was born, they have sons and daughters. Okay? How many? We don't know. But I do know this. There must have been a lot of them because they were filling the earth, and 10 generations later, the earth was pretty populous, you understand?
And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Cainan. And Enos lived after he begot Cainan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died.
Now, with this longevity of life, you can see where they could have had a lot of sons and daughters,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. And Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and he begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch.
That doesn't mean that was his first child. That was the son that the lineage is going through, okay?
And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, and after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Now I want to bring something out here that I think a lot of people don't realize is possible. Here's a man who walked with God, but yet he still had children, you understand? He wasn't a eunuch. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so after he, fathers Methuselah, he's still walking with God. He has sons, he has daughters, but he has such a relationship with the Lord that he just walked on out of here. Okay, he was not. We got took him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot that you said. That's a message in and of itself. God wants us to the place to where we cease to be and let Jesus live through us. Okay.
And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died.
Now this is the oldest recorded person we have in the Bible. Now I got real curious back many years ago and did my math on this. And have you handed out the sheets? We're going to hand out to you a fact sheet on facts concerning the flood. In doing the math on this, Methuselah died the year of the flood. I don't know if he died in the flood or if he died before the flood. But if I did my math right, then he died the year of the flood. His son died before he did. Lamech died before he did. You can go ahead and read that. Mm-hmm.
And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah. Ready for that? Saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed.
So here Lamech is, this is actually prophetic is what he's saying here. And I'm going to show you something pretty interesting. We'll go ahead and read the rest of it.
And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died.
Now that number interests me. I'm not a person into all the numbers and the colors and doing all the study and research, but generally speaking, seven is thought of as completion, three thought of as perfection. And so you have three sevens here. Now, from the time Adam was created until the man before the flood, 777, in other words, Lamech to me is like prophetic. All right? God has given man opportunity all these years. Now his cup's full and the judgment of God is coming. And then you see his son begin a whole new race of people. You with me? So there's probably tons more in this than I know, but there's just some little things there that that just tells me that God is smart.
And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Now, I'm going to do something, and it may seem like I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I want you to, I feel like this is a good place to insert this, and we may talk about it later on, but and this will be in your fact sheet to where you can see some things. But it doesn't say that Noah lived such and so many years and then begat this one, and so many years and begot that one, and so many years and begot that one. What it says was Noah was 500 years old. Okay? Now it lists three sons, and they weren't triplets. Okay? So, if you do the math on this, Shem was 100 years old when Arphaxad, which was his son, was born. You find this in Genesis 11 and verse 10. Arphaxad was born 2 years after the flood. So then that would have made Shem 98 years old when he exited the ark after the flood, okay? Then Noah and his family were in the ark a year and 10 days. And so if you subtract that, and let me give you some narrative on that, okay? Noah entered the ark on the 17th day of the second month when he was 600 years old. Okay? He exited the ark on the 27th day of the second month when he was 601 years old. That's how I get 1 year and 10 days. Okay? Now, if we subtract the 1 year that Shem was in the ark from the 98, then we learn that Shem was approximately 97 years old when he entered the ark, right? Now, this is the oldest son. Noah's three sons would have had to have been born to him after Noah was 500 years old, because Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark. You with me? Okay, you'll see this. I'll let you check me out. Okay.
Here's something interesting. Here's something interesting. There were 1,656 years from Adam to the flood.
Okay.
You can figure that out literally. If you go back and look at that fifth chapter in the genealogy, you can figure that out and do the math. I know, because I did.
Then if you want to argue how long is a generation, the flood happened on the 10th generation. You know, for all the people that are hung up on 40 years.
Yeah.
And another thing about that is God told Abraham that his seed would be in a foreign land, we know Egypt, for 400 years, and they would come out in the fourth generation. So, what's a generation? That varies. So you can't put a set number on a generation. Okay?
Chapter 6.
Okay.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose.
Now, this sixth chapter actually records the degradation of man and some of the events surrounding the flood. And so when the human race began to grow on earth, there were many females born. And when the sons of God saw these beautiful women, they took whomever they wished as their wives. Now, there's been much discussion as to who the sons of God may be. Some believe that they're angels or spiritual beings that married women from the human race, using Jude verse 6 to substantiate their belief. Now, while studying this statement, we must not forget that Adam is called the Son of God. And we must also take Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5 into consideration, which says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son? This day have I begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Now people are reading into things, and there's a lot of opinion out there that's being taught as doctrine. Now the way I approach this, if God had wanted me to know all the detail, then the Lord would have given us the detail. All right? And then we're going to show you by word definition liberties that men have took, okay, that we have made doctrines out of, and in reality, the scripture doesn't say what the translations say. And so we go with doctrines, okay? Now, there's other people who believe that the sons of God, that there's a separation between the sons of man as the lineage of Cain and sons of men as the lineage of Seth, Seth being godly lineage, Cain being ungodly lineage. And so here again, all that speculation. there's no scripture to really support your belief, and to get hung up on these things is a diversion. It keeps you from studying the main thing. Just take the word literally as what it says. And here's the way I approach this. Lord, if I need to know this, then I want to know it. And so, if this is an important thing, then I'm asking you for the revelation of it. Otherwise, I'm okay with the way it is. Okay? Just quit trying to make the scripture say what you want it to say. All right? We're okay with all that. Yes. Okay.
Verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
Now here again, people have taken this and they're reading into it what it doesn't say. And people say it takes 120 years to build the ark. Or people say that the longevity of life is 120 years. Well, I mean, we have people living today more than 120 years old. But what you have to understand, excuse me, is that Noah lived to be 950 years old. Shem was 100 years old when Arphaxad was born. And he lived 500 years after Arphaxad was born. In other words, he was 600 years old when he died. And so that dog's not hunting with me, okay? Then some believe that it took 120 years to build the ark. They disregard the fact Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark. He was apparently 500 years old when God told him to build the ark. Now, we don't know when he started building or anything of that nature. And it seems logical to me to believe that the 120 years referred to by God is the time period between his observation of the wickedness of man and the statement that he made until the day that he judged man. And that judgment was manifested on earth with a flood. Okay? And so all he's saying is, all right, this is the time from this time forward, 120 years from now, it's going to be judgment is coming. Not having to do with the age of man, but the period of time that man had before God judged the earth. Okay? Now, with all that in mind, there is no scripture that indicates that God spoke to Noah the same day he announced the 120 years. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of verses of fact. 9, to be exact, there's 9 verses between the time God set the 120-year limitation until he spoke to Noah. And see, if people just read the Bible superficially, and they just jump to conclusions rather than looking at the facts and understanding the facts, and don't go off teaching things that you can't prove. I'll tell you if I suspect it, but if I know it, I'm going to tell you it's fact. And there's a difference between my thinking something like the 120 years, and the fact that Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark, I know that for a fact because the scripture says so. And we're just doing the other by deduction. Okay? All right.
Verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bore children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown.
All right, here's another thing. that I'm going to show you is not there. Michaela, if you would, in the interlinear, pull up this word that they translated giants, that there were giants in the land. And let's get the Hebrew definition of this. Because you're going to find that nowhere in the definition does it say giant. It's talking about a tyrant. It's talking about a bully. It doesn't say giant. It's not the same word that's used with Goliath in reference to Goliath, the giant. That Hebrew word is translated as giant. I mean, the meaning is giant. Here, it's a bully. It's a tyrant. Okay? But people say, well, angels married women and produced giants. Well, that's a speculation because there's no scripture that's actually supporting it. Although I know what Jude says, they left their natural habitation. But I don't know that I understand all that. And so I'm not going to teach it for doctrine. And then let me ask you this. What difference does it make? They all got destroyed. And so we can get hung up. Mama used to tell me, don't major in minors. You know, that's the minor thing. The main thing is always the main thing. And just let's get the facts out of the scriptures, okay? That's the main thing. But I wanted you to see this for yourself, that this Hebrew word, the definition of it, doesn't say giant, does it? You know, all bullies aren't big. All tyrants aren't big. So don't read into it what's not there. Okay? Actually, let me just say some things concerning this. If you look at this, it talks about fellers. If you look at fellers, we're talking about lumberjacks. Okay? And then if you go on and you look at a bully or a harsh ruler, a tyrant is a harsh ruler. And so when the sons of God had sexual relations with the daughters of men, the women became pregnant, and they gave birth to men who became mighty or powerful, and they were men of renown or men of authority, okay? And so the suggestion made from the Hebrew definition is that the men produced by humanity did not have a heart like God. These men were self-centered and ruthless, like you see in government today. And from the Hebrew definition of giant, as used in this passage of Scripture, there's no mention of stature or size, is there? So, if that burst your bubble, it needed to be bursted, okay?
Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Now here's another thing, in light of what we just said. God saw that the evilness or wickedness of man was abundant in the earth. Of man was abundant in the earth. And his mental perceptions and the plans of his heart were continually evil. And he goes, even from his youth. You think about it. But he doesn't mention angels or spiritual beings here. He says men. Okay? So just keep it all together.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
Now, another thing, when people think of the word repent, you know, well, the Lord repent. How could the Lord repent? Did God make a mistake? No, God didn't make a mistake. Here's the thing. If you look at that word, it's the sigh. Man. Because in creation, everything God created was good, and His summary of it was very good. And so what's God sighing about? Look what man has done with what I made. It's grieving God. You with me? And so when you look at this, it's grieved the Lord. That's what man has become. In his heart, he became angry. And he said, I will remove these human beings that I've created on earth. I'll also remove the animals, reptiles, birds. What I made grieves me as what it has become. Mm-hmm. You with me? That's the message, I believe, that he's conveying here. Not that he made a mistake. Not that he didn't know what was going to happen, because the Lamb was slain from the founding of the world. So this has not caught God by surprise. I mean, he just wakes up one day. Not that God sleeps, he doesn't. But he says, oh my, I shouldn't have done this. No, God knew before he created Adam. And so he already had the second man in place. You with me? Okay.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.
Mm-hmm. But, so, we know the story about that, don't we?
We do. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Now, go ahead and read the next verse.
Okay. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
Noah was a just man who was full of integrity, and he walked with God. Now, you think about this. In his generation, he was righteous. That doesn't mean that he didn't need a Savior. You're with me?
Mm-hmm.
In his generation, in the midst of all the perversity that's surrounding him, the evil has become so gross that God is going to destroy all life on earth that has breath in its nostrils. Yet Noah is an exception here. And he's called a preacher of righteousness. Okay, so in his generation, he's righteous. You know, the same thing is said about Job. In his generation, he was righteous. But in the generation today, your righteousness is Jesus. And there is no right standing. Even these men had to embrace Jesus before they could go into the presence of God. They're held in the heart of the earth, in Abraham's bosom, up until this time. Okay?
And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Well, we've already talked about them. That's his three sons, right?
Yeah.
And we know Shem was the oldest, and we know Ham was the youngest. How do I know that? Well, we'll find that out as we go on with Genesis, because the youngest son's the one that saw his father's nakedness. And so that would have put Japheth in the middle, you understand? Okay?
Okay. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence.
Now I'm going to say something here. I didn't know if I was going to say it or not. But there's stuff going out right now about Hamas, as mentioned in the Bible. And they take the Hebrew word violence, and then they transliterate that Hebrew word into another word, which comes out as as Hamath. Okay? That does not say that Hamath existed. And if that were the case, then the flood got rid of Hamath. You with me? Actually, Hamas is an acronym, just for the record, okay? And so, here again, don't go with all the speculation that people are handling. These gangs out here are violent. You understand? There's violence all around you, not just in a terrorist group. And so, don't go off on the deep end with all this stuff that people are saying. They try to get hits on YouTube and all this and try to suck people in and get your attention on the wrong thing. I don't need to be thinking about violence. I need to be thinking about the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Okay. Verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth.
Well, see, why has the earth become corrupt? Because of the lifestyle of the humanity that's on the earth. Listen, we affect creation. Romans, the 8th chapter, says creation is groaning, waiting to be redeemed from what man has done. All kinds of perversity. To the point when God gave Moses the law, there had to be things incorporated in the law that you'd think that a man with common sense wouldn't be having sex with animals and all this other kind of stuff. It has to be brought in. So what's happening? Kill the animal too. You understand? So men had corrupted the earth with their perverted thinking. God says, I'll get rid of all of it. And we're going to start over with Noah. Okay? And our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here. We'll pick back up with this in our next session after the break.